Well, if you are fairly new to Christ Community Chapel, to our campus, it is it's a pleasure to welcome you today. My name is Mark Lyle, and I am the campus pastor here, and I love being the campus pastor. I love being your pastor. So thanks for the great joy and the privilege of doing that. Sometimes when you come, you will see Pastor Joe on the screen, and sometimes when you come, you will hear me or one of our other staff members. And we do that intentionally because we want to give you different voices and different perspectives, and we never tell you when we're going to do it. Because if you really like Joe, I don't want you to not show up on a week that I'm... My mom was here first hour. It was great to have her here, and I said... It's tough to preach in front of your mom, because if you do well, she says it's because I raised you well, and if I do poorly, she says I have no idea whose child that is. So, but it's fun. It was fun to have my mom here. We're going to be in John chapter 5 today, so you can go ahead and put your finger in there. But I want to kind of catch you up on where we are. As a church, you know, what's important, what's happening. I have a group of guys that I meet with that kind of serve as our campus leadership team, and they are wonderful partners in Christ in helping me think through things, in helping me stay accountable to things, and I really appreciate them. And we've had some really good discussions and some reminders. There's a book out there called Simple Church, and it's written by a guy named Tom Rainer. And Tom is just I talk like I know him, a good buddy of mine, Tom. He is a great, great, a great mind as it relates to how the church should function. And I think if I was going to write the book, I would call it Uncluttered Church, because it's a reminder of staying focused on the things that really matter. So it has forced me and us to ask ourselves some questions, and I want to ask some of them to you today. First is a question of purpose. We'll start with an easy one, because ultimately I want to get to what is our purpose. But let's start with a restaurant. What's the purpose of a restaurant? Feed people, right? Okay, good, yeah. A restaurant exists. If somebody asks a restaurateur, why does this restaurant exist? I hope that at some point they're going to get to the answer to feed people. People are hungry. We have a service. We offer it to them. It takes care of that, right? Hopefully, if you get to an administrator of a hospital and you ask them the question, why does this hospital exist? The answer is going to be what? To care for sick people, right? Somewhere you're going to expect to hear that answer. So that turns the question to us to say, why does the church, or more specifically, why does our church exist? Here's a way to think of it that might be a little more realistic to you. If a friend of yours from work was to say to you, I know you go to church, you seem to like to go to church, why do you go to church? Or better yet, why does your church even exist? What would you say to them? Well, good. I was hoping there would be a stunned silence. I'm going to give you an answer that we've used for many years, but I think we've realized we haven't revisited for a while, and Will mentioned it earlier. There are really three words that if you hang on to these three words, you're going to remember an awful lot about why the church exists and ultimately what your place and role is within it. And those three words are what? Know, grow, and serve. Awesome. Here's know. What we want is we want people to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean to come and get a bunch of information about Jesus. It's different than that. We are actually saying we believe we exist because first, God really exists. We believe that, and even though, yes, it's hard to understand, and yes, there are people here, including this guy, who sometimes doubts, we believe God exists. And not only does he exist, but the amazing news is you can come into a relationship with the real living God. And he provided that through his son, Jesus Christ. So we want you first and foremost to come to know him. This is our purpose. It's why we exist. If we don't let people know that Jesus is real and that they can come into this relationship, then shame on us. Stop existing. You're not fulfilling your purpose, church, us. So it starts with know, and then, and the neat thing, what we're discovering in our studies is that not only do we have a purpose, but our purpose is also a process. So we start with knowing Jesus, but you don't just stop here. You move on, hopefully, into this, what did we say the second place was? Grow. Yeah. So after you've engaged in a relationship with Jesus, you then have the opportunity to, because spiritual life is organic, it grows. It's not just, I get a stamp, I get into heaven, this is awesome, I get to go live life any way I want to because now I got the stamp, this is cool. No, the nature of this thing is, after the knowledge, after the beginning of the relationship, you grow in that relationship. And we're going to continue to look for ways to get you plugged in, to get you growing. And then it moves on to what? Serve, right? And for some of you, you go, yeah, you know what? I kind of wish it was just know and grow. I'd kind of be good with that. Because I love growing and I love getting more knowledge and all that stuff. But then this church has this weird expectation that I'll actually do something with my knowledge and my experiences and in relationship. And I got to connect in community. And yeah, but let me give you maybe a perspective that'll help you. I'm not saying I watched the royal wedding last weekend. Oh, yes, I did. Okay? And one of the things I was fascinated, as if it wasn't bad enough that I watched the royal wedding, I watched the build-up shows to the royal wedding. And one of the things that struck me was the people who were over there and commentating on it, it was like if they could just get close to the wedding, if somehow, some way, they could get invited just to observe, would have been an unbelievable privilege. And then there were people who got to serve the royal wedding. You think any of them, I came to find out, I guessed it was a 19-year-old cellist. There was an 18-year-old cellist who was unbelievable. And you think when he got the invitation to come and play at the Royal, he was going, oh, there goes that Saturday. Gone. You need to remind ourselves the privilege of serving the royalty that is Christ is that experience, not drudgery. You serve in a royal priesthood. There is going to be a day when his glory will be revealed and you will understand the role that you've had in the service of the king, and it will be majestic. And that's not me telling you because I think it's a neat idea. That's the word of God telling us that. So my desire is to take all of us and move us along this process so that we know Jesus, grow in him, and serve him. And I'm going to do my best, we're going to do our best to give you easy connections to that, to unclutter things as best we can, and to stay focused on that particular goal. Now, one thing I will need you to do is I'm going to send out some information this week just to ask you to say, hey, tell me where you are. Let me tell you a quick story. when I started skiing, I think I've said this before, when I started skiing in high school, went on a ski trip, I didn't have any equipment, anything like that, so I go in the rental barn, first thing they hand me is a sheet of paper that says, tell us what kind of skier you are. And it says beginner, intermediate, advanced. Well, that seems fairly straightforward, but let me throw in a peer pressure variable. I was with my fellow high school students, and the last thing I wanted to do was admit that I had never skied before. So I was desperately tempted to check either intermediate or advanced, until I happened to ask a leader, why do they need to know this? And he said, oh, because what are they gonna do? You guys tell me, you know. They're gonna adjust your bindings on your rental equipment according to your skill level. What they're gonna give you is gonna match your skill level, and if you lie, then on one of the 175 times that you're gonna fall in the next 3 hours, you're gonna break your leg. And that was a life lesson to me. And what's weird is I realize the reason that story came to my mind is because I realize that through the things that I'm going to send you and the stuff that I'm going to ask you, I'm essentially going to ask you, tell me where you are. Are you here at the Mark? I'm not really sure if I even really know Jesus. Are you at the grow phase? Are you ready to serve? All right, so I'm just asking you, tell me the truth. Because if you don't, we'll come break your legs. Oh, no, that's not how that story was supposed to work out. As you tell me, as you tell us, we can best map you with the things that will help you the most. Right? So thanks for understanding. And my hope is now I want you as ambassadors to walk out of here and if anybody asks you, why does your church exist? You're going to say, well, my church exists because Jesus Christ needs to be known. And then people need to come in relationship. And then have and realize they have the privilege in response and gratitude of serving him. That's the call of the church, and it's glorious. So thanks for going along the ride. So we have been talking all year about in this growth area, we've picked a cool word that is only used a couple times in the New Testament, and it's the reminder that for all of us, we need to do what? Transform, right? Our goal is that even now, 5 months from when we started, hopefully there is something different going on in our lives, that there's an area of maturity, that if there's an area of, as there's an area of sin that just grabs you, that as Scripture says, tangles itself around your feet, hopefully through things like the agents of change, you are becoming untangled and more mature and able to walk better in Christ. So today, the one that we are going to focus on is the Word of God. Last week, Pastor Joe talked about worship. We've talked about things like giving. Today, we're going to talk specifically about the Word of God. I know, when I put together a sermon like this, I know that you know that the Bible is important to Christian growth. Okay, and if you don't, I'm glad I got to say it, because now you do know. In Jerry Bridges' book, I'm reading a book right now with my CLC brothers. We are going through The Transforming Power of the Gospel. And it's written by Jerry Bridges, who has now gone home to be with Christ, but wrote books like Pursuit of Holiness, amazing navigator's guy. Jerry Bridges says in this book, he says, the Word of God is the primary tool that God uses to transform us through His Holy Spirit. Okay, so When I realized that, and he reiterated it even in the chapter we read this week, I said, this is a big, big responsibility for me to remind all of us, we don't have an option of not being in God's Word. As a church, we got to stay centered around it. As people, we desperately need to be in it. And let me walk you through what I think are three reasons why. Three very fundamental reasons why. And then I want to tell you a story about some experiences I've kind of had around God's Word. So the first and main reason why you need to be in the Word of God is because it reveals the truth about God. Okay? And I really mean, I want you to ask yourself, do you really believe that? Because I think there needs to be what I think of or call a coffee table conversion, which means many of you have grown up with the Bible on your coffee table, literally or figuratively. And where we need to move is to actually begin to look and read and study and discuss and understand it so that first, above all else, we have an appropriate understanding. We have a thorough understanding of God Himself. Now, I'm the first guy. The Bible is long. The Bible is hard to understand. The Bible at times is boring. But not one of those things is a great reason to ignore it. Okay? Here, I think some of you probably had this experience. I want to tell you about a mission trip I went on about 12 years ago. Went to Oaxaca, Mexico. We were going to work with a group of people who were translating the Bible into native Mexican Indian. So these are the indigenous tribes to Mexico. And they're primarily in the mountains of the Oaxaca area. And what they would do is they would take... They would go into a broadcast studio. They would translate into this indigenous language on a little audio Bible that was solar powered, and they would take that thing into these villages, and we got to deliver some of them into these villages. And when they were received, people would take them, and they would take them into their house, and they started to invite their neighbors right away to come in, sit down, and listen to what God's Word had to say. And in some cases, it was the first exposure they had to God's Word. And what happened to me was kind of weird because first I got caught up in, this is really cool. And then right away, it started to attack me in a way where I said, do I really have this kind of reverence? Do I really hold in high esteem the truth that these scriptures are the way that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us? And I realized, I'm just going to be candid with you guys. I'm in my 40s, late 30s at that time. And I'm asking myself at that point, have I ever read all of the Bible? And that's a weird question for a guy who's been in ministry. I mean, I've done Bible studies, but I was like, have I ever read all of the Bible? And simply said, from that experience, because I got to tell you, the way my mind started reeling, I started thinking, wow, these people, this is their only option of God's Word. And I grew up in a country where I can go buy any version in any color with any kind of graphic cover on it I want. I was born in a country where literacy was made a primary goal literally since 5 years old. I've been taught how to read. I could throw away every printed version of my Bible and I would never be wanting for anything because I have a phone that pulls the entire Bible up anytime I want it. And I started to ask myself, it was almost as if I heard God going, have I not given you enough choices? You know, I think I made it pretty available to you. Do you think maybe you'd, take in the whole thing? And so from that time on, I committed to starting to take in all of God's Word. And I'm the first one. One of my prayers when I spend time in God's Word, hearing it, reading it, discussing it, is simply, God, I know I'm going to run into some really hard stuff. Some stuff that talks about how serious you are about sin. Some stuff that talks about your holiness in a way I don't want to see it. But God, I need you to help me understand what you're revealing about you to me. And friends, if nothing else today, or if almost nothing else, if I can get you to move to an understanding of seeing and reading God's Word in such a way that your very first question, what you seek more than anything, is to say, what does this teach me about God? Then you've done well in starting at your absolute foundation. Because once you understand things about God, then guess what? You can learn things about you. And don't go the other way. The difficulty you get in discussions in work is ultimately what it boils down to is people are saying, I want to create God. And you've heard Pastor Joe say this. I want to create God in my image. I want God to be who I want him to be. I don't want to find out who he is and believe that. So start by the revelation of God in his word. That's where you start. Secondly, then, you will learn about you. It will tell you the Bible will tell you the truth about you. God's word through his Holy Spirit will reveal to you who you really are. And unfortunately, the news is not good. That's a spoiler alert, okay? As you read, you are going to be forced to ask the question, if God is like this truly, what am I like? I heard a story this week, literally a story. It was a podcast. I think it was the two podcasts I'm hooked on right now are Radio Lab and Tommy, what's that other one I listen to? This American Life, thank you. Should be a memory one, but so in This American Life, this particular week, the episode was called The Story of My Death. And they had three different chapters in that. And one story was about this guy. I'm going to call him Chuck. That's not his real name. I can't remember right now what his real name was. But it was a story about Chuck, who was a comedian, well-liked, kind of hard-living, diabetic guy who drank himself into a diabetic coma. The story is told by his friend because what happened was once Chuck was in a coma, his friend went to see him. It was really, really bad, much worse than any of his friends expected. And his friend got the word that Chuck's parents were told, you need to pull life support. Chuck is not going to live. He's not going to come out of this coma. So his friend could not take going and seeing him again. He couldn't see him in that state. So he invited all of Chuck's friends over to have a celebration memorial while Chuck's parents were removing life support. And as a result of that, they kicked out on Facebook rest in peace, Chuck. And then it just went viral about, oh my goodness, Chuck is gone. And everybody started talking about how much they love Chuck. Well, the problem was Chuck didn't die. They removed life support and took him to another hospital where he survived and came out of a coma 3 weeks later. And the story then picked up. Now Chuck is talking in the story. And he begins to talk about all of the things he reads about what people say about him and how much they love him and how much they remember. But where it took a weird turn for me was he said he was just overwhelmed with gratitude for what people said. And then he said, and then I started to feel really, really guilty. And the woman who was doing the broadcast said, why is that? He said, because what people were saying about me was absolutely an untrue look at who I really am. He gave one example. He said, this young kid who I'd befriended in college, he said, oh, Chuck, I remember we went to Walgreens together, and he said, all I remember is all the employees there were saying, hey, Chuck, good to see you, man. You were so well-liked. They looked forward to your visits. Chuck said, the only thing I remember, I shoplifted that day in Walgreens. He said, that's who the real Chuck is. And I remember thinking, my goodness, that's what the Word of God, that's the reality of what the Word of God does to us, is we have this idea and others have this idea of who we are, and God's Word goes, nah. But most significantly, the last thing that it does is it reveals what? You know this, and we need to know it better and better. It reveals how we can be saved, right? I mean, it reveals that we don't have to stay in this condition. It reveals who Jesus is and what he's done for us and how that actually rescues us from our sin. I want to show you in John 5, I want to show you one passage, just a quick example that as I was reading, as I was preparing this week, I came across this, and there was something that jumped out, and I want to show you what it was. And I'm going to pick up in verse 36. And what's happened beforehand here is Jesus has, this has been one of the many miracles that Jesus has done. He has made a lame man walk, and instead of rejoicing at the glory of God displayed over sin and disease and death, a group of really religious people, called the Jews or labeled the Jews here, they decide that because this was all done on the Sabbath, this clearly indicates that this cannot be the Son of God. But something really spiked me in this section that I'm going to read. Follow with me. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Okay, that alone to you and me is a great reminder of why the Word of God is so significant, because it draws us right down to the truths that Jesus said about himself. Jesus said, the Father has sent me. That's not something we made up. That's not our flavor of religion that works for us. This is the truth of Jesus revealed. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. And this is what really spiked me. In 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. Even as I was preparing to talk to you guys and to myself about the truth of the Word of God, I was reminded there are people, us, there are times we can spend searching the Scriptures with the wrong motives, with the wrong ideas, with the thought of this is a self-help book. And if we don't see the glory that is revealed about Jesus in it, we have missed its entire message. So as we allow ourselves to be transformed by the Word of God, let's start back and say, first of all, if you're at this no place, if you're right here, then don't try to eat the elephant, okay? Take the book of John, just the Gospel of John. I just read a few verses from it. You'll be amazed by it. You'll be amazed by what it teaches you about Jesus and how it challenges you. If this is you right here, read the book of John. If you're at the grow place, then maybe you can relate to the conviction I have about taking in all of the Word of God. Maybe over a year, maybe over a year and a half. Let me back it down one notch. Read just the New Testament, but all of it. Take in all of the New Testament and see how you see God differently, how you see yourself differently. The cool thing is, I can promise you, you will be different, because what the Word of God says about itself is it's not just a book. It says it's active and living and sharp. It says it jumps inside of you and it convicts you in a way that nothing else does. And if you are at this serve place, maybe you are at a place to help teach others the Word of God. Maybe that's one way that you can serve. See where you are. Let the Word of God change you. Pray with me, please. Father, thanks for your glory, your truth revealed to us in your Word. Father, may we see you and not just words on a page. May we yield to the work of your Holy Spirit as you enlighten our minds. May you help us be obedient to the conviction you bring as we understand the truth about ourselves. And would you help us give glory to Jesus, who is the remedy for our sin and for our death. We give you glory through him today, in his name.